It's Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Don't hate me, but I'm somewhere sunny. So this is the best of the Jason Manford Show.
This is Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
So on, might have been Wednesday morning, my kids were due back to go to their mum's, and she rang me in the middle of the day. She said, look, can you have the kids for one more night? I've got an infestation of flies in the house. A pest control's been out, a guy's been out, and he's sprayed the room with poison, so probably best not to have kids back. I'm like, absolutely fine. They can stay at mine for another night. So when I dropped them off the next day, right, I said, is it all sorted? She's all sorted now. It's all sorted. She went, well, it sort of is and it isn't really. So she said, come and have a look. I went up to the room, right? The expert, by the way, had said that he's killed the flies, right? And all you've got to do is hoover them up, and, right, and that will be... They were big flies. They were them, you know, the big, obnoxious, crunchy ones?
Yeah, yeah, the ones that look like birds, yeah, yeah.
Oh, they were horrible, horrible. She'd rang pest control, the council, just like 10 or 15 people who should be able to answer this question of how to get rid of these flies. She was told, something's probably died in your loft or your chimney breast, so what you have to do is just wait for it to decompose and then the flies will go away.
No good sentence begins with the word something's probably died.
Exactly. I mean, just think about that. It's 2016, right? We've been to the moon. And yet you've got to wait for something to decompose in your own house. Oof. Before the things will go away. So I said, look, I'll pop over and have a check, even though I'm not handy at all.
Right, right? Okay.
But I said, I'll pop over and have a look, because the kid's room and her room and all that. I said, I'll come and have a little look, right? So I thought, I'll see what I can do, yeah. And I unscrewed the loft panel, and I've got, like, I put marigolds on, because I'm not into getting my hands actually dirty. And I've got my hand in the loft, like, I can't see, I'm up to my shoulders, like a farmer birthing a calf. And I'm, like, trying to find, I'm like, please don't touch something squidgy. Please don't touch something squidgy. And I'm all the time, I'm like, my stomach's flipping.
It's disgusting.
I said, right, I'll have a look at the chimney. Right. So I'm lay on the floor in the room, and I've got my arm up there, and I'm trying to get this, find whatever there is. And I've loosened it so much that the most amount of soot you've ever seen just poured out of the chimney. It went everywhere. I'm covered in it. I look like a 1970s racist. Like, it's everywhere. All over the bedroom carpet.
Oh, it's, God.
I know. And then this is the weirdest thing that happened, right? An egg fell out of the chimney.
An egg?
An egg. And I don't mean like a little quail's egg, like a proper, like a chicken's egg, a white, a big egg, a big white egg. It just fell and it seeped a bit of gunk on the...
What?
I know, Nish, I know. And I was like, well, that must have been it. I don't know. I can't. I mean, there were so many thousands of flies, like a Hitchcock film. It was awful.
What?
An egg in the chimney breast. I know.
That's baffling.
Baffled. Anyway, I had to leave it. I had to go to work. I just left a massive mess of stuff to do. You know, so I just left to do it. But, I mean, a mess, mate. I mean, I've never... It was everywhere.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
So, I found an egg. It fell out of the chimney. It sounds weird.
It sounds like the beginning of a Dr. Seuss book.
It does, yeah. Anyway, it turned out it was a duck. A duck had died in the chimney at some point. Weirdest thing you've ever found in your house?
Dog collar.
A dog collar?
But not for a dog.
Oh, that's weird. And where was this? What was this?
My house that I still live in now.
Wow.
We sort of arrived and, you know, everything's fine, everything's looking clean, and just my flatmate opened the cupboard and he went, "Says, is that a dog collar?" And I went, "I don't... It's not like a dog collar I've seen." And then we sort of both, just the truth just dawned on each other, and we were like, oh boy.
That is weird.
Straight to the shops, bleached absolutely everything.
Yeah, it's got to be done. Claire Roscoe has messaged in. She said, at new house, there was a coffin in the loft. A coffin. Empty, she checked. I like this picture. We keep our Christmas tree in there now. Gotta use it, can't get it down.
It's like the Addams Family Christmas.
Right, you go up and get the Christmas tree every Christmas, I remember that. There's a coffin up there. We found the cast of the previous owner's breasts in the bottom of the drawer that they left behind. A cast.
What a charming gift.
Yes. Leave that. I mean, I know a lot of people leave flowers or a bottle of wine, but why don't you... Why don't you just leave the
full cast of your bosom? Yeah. Also, what I'm concerned about is how do you know that it was definitely the previous owner's... It suggests that they really sized them up on the way out.
That's definitely hers. Next one is just weird.
Oh.
Kimberly, when I moved into my house about 6 years ago, I found about 10 catalogues in the loft. K's, Next, Littlewoods, the usual.
Fair enough.
But none of the models had heads. Someone had spent forever cutting the heads out meticulously.
Oh.
Gave me the fear. That is weird. There was a serial killer in your house.
At 100%, you live in the house of a serial killer. Mm. I would say if that's the weirdest thing you find in your house, you've done well.
Yeah, that is really weird. We've got Amy on the line. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Lovely. Now, me and you, Amy, had a little chat, didn't we? Because you posted on my Facebook page this week about the thing that's in your house that you found.
Yeah, I did.
Why don't you tell us what it is?
A human-sized gun safe.
A human-sized gun safe. I mean, she's made it sound scarier by putting human-sized. I'll be honest with you.
I have to say, gun is the red flag word for
and
me.
And gun
Jason.
Is in there as well. I mean, weirdly, that sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? A gun safe.
Yeah.
Two things that don't really go together. So it's in your loft.
It's in the loft,
when
yeah.
did you move into this house?
In 2009.
Okay, so you've been there 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and there's a human-sized gun safe locked, and you've never opened it.
No.
Wow. I mean, the curiosity would just...
Yeah.
And have you attempted? Has anyone gone at it with a crowbar, or...?
Well, we kind of had this little tete-a-tete with it, and we thought, oh, we're going to break into it. And then we phoned the police, and the police were like, if you break into it and there's anything in there, it becomes your responsibility. So we were like, well...
Oh, no.
What do we do?
But, I mean, you say that, but, I mean, if there's a gun in it... Surely they'll come and get it. They're not just going to go, oh, that's your responsibility, I'm afraid. Like, if I know police...
Which I know you do.
And I feel like I do. Surely to goodness. Jason
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. I'm joined by Hayley Ellis.
Morning.
Morning. So, a lot of people texting in.
Loads.
What's in the gun cabinet? Tell
what
us. You've been teasing us for an hour. Joanne has threatened me. This better be good, Jason. I've actually got out of bed for this.
Oh, Joanne.
What's wrong with your radio? You have to get out of bed. That's the beauty of radio.
Sit in bed, Joanne.
Vicky Cox in Gloucester, she says, gun cabinet's empty, Jason. It probably had guns in it. Previous person moved out, took the guns, but I guess getting a human-sized safe out of the loft was too much of a task, so left it behind.
Practical.
Bet you, she says, bet you.
And what's she betting, Vicky?
Well, she's not specified.
Specify a fee, Vicky. I'll see whether we'll place it.
But why don't we find out what happened? I sent my brother, Colin, all the way to Loughborough from Manchester.
Just to get him out of the house.
I was like, go on. It was his wife, new wife's idea. So I said, go on, off you go. Find out, take a locksmith and find out what is in the gun cabinet in Loughborough.
Hi Jay, it's Colin here. You've sent me all the way to East Leek. I've driven 100 miles and I'm joined with Amy and Caroline. And Caroline's nickname is Lucky, she told me before, but it's an ironic nickname because she's not lucky at all, which is great. And I'm also joined by Jamie, the locksmith, Jamie North, who's also very excited. He's not stopped smiling since he got here. Shall we make our way upstairs, yep. Jamie?
This is a curiosity killed the cat situation. You come across it all the time, and most of the time there's nothing in them at all.
Given that we're moving house, anything that we can sell?
Anything.
Or a bundle of cash, that would be nice.
A bundle of cash, that's how cash is made, in bundles.
In bundles.
I'm full of hope myself, Jay. I'm hoping we find something, just, you know, I don't mind driving 100 miles, but it's handy if there was something at the end of it.
Probably a 9-gun cabinet.
A 9-gun cabinet.
My hopes. 7 or 9.
Just a 1 will be good for me, though. I'm now getting really excited up here, surely. I'm not fully in the loft, though, because I'm scared at the same time. What are you using, Jamie?
I'm just using some piano wire at the minute that's been bent up to try and manipulate the lock open.
It's a good word, manipulate. Quite like it. I do have a list of favourite words.
What are the other ones?
Crescendo is my favourite. Aubergine used to be my favourite, but then crescendo. It's just fun to say. It's
quite like misdemeanour.
Misdemeanour. Mm-hmm. That's a very good word. This could be a whole new segment on the show, Jay. Just favourite words, get people to Facebook now or tweet. Jay, would you ever use brute force? Or?
Never.
Never. He's a gentle locksmith, this man. he's caressing the lock.
That technical term.
Whenever you caress something, it's normally a positive outcome. The power tools are coming out, everyone. Yeah, right. That's what we like to hear. Oh, there's a hot. We've created a brand new hole. Start the drum roll, Jason. Get the drum roll on. We're coming towards the end of this. We're open. The lock's done. It's been defeated by Jamie. And.
That's a cleaning rod.
We've got a cleaning rod from Parker Hale cleaning rod.
Sporting gun, a freebie.
We've got a cartridge carrier, so no cartridges.
That's a butt. Gun butt.
Everything but a gun right now.
And that is.
And we've got some sponges. Ultimately we had a nice lovely bag there, the sporting gun and a cleaning rod. That's it, really. I've travelled 100 miles from Manchester, Jay, to find a bag and a cleaning rod. So cheers, buddy.
There's never been a bigger anticlimax since the last episode of Lost.
But if we wouldn't have done it, it'd have done our heads in. So now we know. And Vicky was almost right. Well, she was right, wasn't she?
Yeah, I'm glad I never bet you a tenner, Vicky.
I'd be glad that you didn't lose any money there. Yeah. Crikey. But now we know.
Yeah, but sponges.
What was in the gun cabinet? Some sponges and some other things that was... Essentially, it's exactly what Vicky said. Yeah. Somebody just couldn't be bothered moving that cabinet out.
Mrs. Marple Vicky, though.
But now we know. Now we know.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
My mother. She went out to, like, a charity lunch thing last Wednesday or something. She's gone to this charity lunch, middle of the day, and... for some reason, whatever it is, she's with her pals. She's just suddenly just got on it, on the drink.
Oh.
Just gone for it. She's not a massive drinker, my mum, but she's gone for it. Started drinking at 12 o'clock, carried on. I get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, in the morning?
3 o'clock, yes, in the morning. I'm in bed, obviously, and I'd been in bed for a good 4.5 hours, like since 10:30. That's what time I go to bed now.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call asking if I could go and pick them up in town. Because they were just hammered, like, to a point where the pictures I saw on Facebook the next day of her and her friends was like a 17-year-old who'd gone out for the first time.
Is it the ones where even the pictures are out of focus?
Yeah, like lopsided, people falling over.
Yeah,
there was like apparently she was like. She was on a cash machine, treating it like a fruit machine, like, you know, hammered.
Gamble.
Just like, press nudge on that, press nudge on that. Just hammered. And it's me mum.
Yeah.
And so I guess my question is twofold, is when did parents start behaving like kids? Is there an age that you just hit where you go, no responsibility, I'm fine.
Yeah, done all my bit now.
I've done that now, I'm just going to go for it again. Yeah. There must be a point, mustn't there? And where you as a child, or as a former child, as their child, suddenly becomes the
adult again.
The adult.
Well, the adult, yeah.
I did the Manchester Arena on my last tour, paid for a box for my mum and her mates.
Is it? Yeah.
A maximum of 16 people are allowed in the box. I said, I'll cover the food and drink, that's what I said.
For 16 people?
For 16 people, right? Including two children, by the way. There was like a 15-year-old and 14-year-old in there. At the interval, my agent said to me, I've just stopped a bottle of brandy going into the box. I said, oh, they're all right with a bottle of brandy. They went, it's the fifth one. I went, okay, well, no, that's not okay. Fifth bottle of brandy. Not only had she had 16 people in there, she was sneaking other people in. Friends who were on the phone, coming, hiding people in the toilets when security were coming in. This is the performers. Mom. I mean, the night before, Beyonce had been on. I don't think her man was doing that.
No. Well,
you don't know. I don't know what goes on. And at the end, the manager said to me, in the immortal words, he said to me, when after I got off stage, he said, Jason, your family were the worst behaved family we've ever had here at the arena.
Thank you very much.
Dot, dot, dot. And I include the Pogues.
Wow.
Kim texted in, she said, David, her father, fell into some nettles whilst trying to wee up a wall in Croatia. I have witnesses.
It's quite specific, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Some of them are ruder than others. Gemma says, my mother-in-law got that drunk at a barbecue we were having. She proceeded to tell me that my father-in-law had bought her a purple toy of sorts, but she didn't need it because she was getting it enough.
Wow.
Have another drink, Mum. Have another drink.
Sausage.
Nicky and Mark. Nicky and Mark say, I love it now that our son is 18 and can drive. He's our taxi service.
Yeah,
that's good. Fine. That's come
right.
Full
that's
circle.
Just, that's repayment, isn't it?
But yeah. Not at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Where real music matters.
I was talking about my mum getting hammered, and then ringing me at 3 a.m. to come and pick her and her mates up in town. So I'm asking you about parents behaving badly. When did that happen, and what have your parents done where you've had to become the grown-up? Gemma says, my mum nearly got arrested in Spain for being drunk and disorderly. Oh. I mean, if police are involved.
Yeah.
That's when you're pushing it a bit, aren't you? Kirsten says, this weekend, my 58-year-old mum got her first tattoo.
No?
Suddenly
didn't say what it was.
Or where it was. No, she hasn't. This is horrible. Katie says, my mum, in her 60s, went out on the town, got so hammered she puked up a few times, lost her false teeth.
Oh. Well, that's the essence, isn't it?
I'll leave
them there. Imagine finding that the next day, walking past that, on your way to work on Monday morning. Yeah,
it looked like a human had melted. Yeah. It's lying on the floor, you're like, whoa. Yeah.
Next to one of them little blue lights with a mosquito thing, you'd be like, whoa.
That was a crazy night. Peter says, my father's 88. He often goes for a walk. He will get delivered some hours later with a huge smile on his face, swaying gently in the non-existent wind. It's been for a few bites. I love that. Where was the one that I really wanted to... Oh, that was it. It was Tara. She said, when I was 17, I brought my then-boyfriend back home. My mum, who'd been out on the lash with her friends and was in bed, we were sat watching TV when the living room door swung open. In came a mother, stark naked, went to the kitchen to get a glass of water and then went back to bed. To this day, she denies it.
Yeah, I bet she does.
I bet she does. My other one, which is a tough one to read out, but I'm going to do it anyway, was from Gemma Skinner, who said, I asked my mum not to mention a certain word. Right?
Right.
I told you this one off air, with the actual word, but I won't obviously do it on air. I asked my mum not to say the C word in my house in front of the children. She said, what? Then said the word.
The said word.
And immediately said it. I meant chocolate. Not that
God,
word.
No, Mum, I meant chocolate.
For God's sake, chocolate.
I'm talking about chocolate.
Why would you say that in front of 4-year-olds?
Real music matters.
Now, I was sort of on my phone. I was helping my daughter with her English homework. She was doing all this. And she went, Daddy, are you on your phone? And I said, no, even though I was. No. She said, what are you doing? I said, nothing, not doing anything. And she looked over and she said these words, Daddy, are you Googling what is an adverb? For a very brief moment, I just couldn't find in my brain what one was. So I thought about this moment of helping your kids with homework where you're completely lost.
Yeah.
Even at 6 years old.
Well, no, but there was another thing. It's that we had Carol Vorderman on Buzzcocks once, and I asked her if she could teach me how to do long division, because it never really took.
No, I've never known how to do that.
I could never know, and I'm sure it's easy. I'm all right with numbers.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be shown how to do long division. I was desperate to. And I really want to learn grammar. Because I love, you know, the other day my kids went, well, you can't say that because there's a subjunctive clause. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, my brain just goes, da 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 da.
I had a weird moment with my little brother when he was in a much nicer school than I went to. But he.
Colin?
No. He was in the same school I was at. My youngest brother, Niall, who is now 15. But when he was about maybe 11, he had this homework, and he was staying at my house, and he said, will you help me with my homework? And I said, yeah, of course I will. He said, it's got to be in for tomorrow. Kids do this a lot.
Yeah.
It's got to be in for tomorrow.
Is deadlines?
Yeah. Is that
what it's showbiz, man, you know, a deadline.
Yeah. They're like, what was it set today? Oh, no, we could have done it 2 weeks ago when we were first asked. But, you know, I'm asking today. So I went, OK, we'll do it. What do you have to do? He says, I need to make a Trojan horse. A Trojan horse for whatever lesson it was. I said, right, OK, what? Classics. He does classics at his posh school. And so I said, right, OK, fine, all right. I'll try my best. I'm not very arty. But I stayed up till 3:30 in the morning doing his homework for him. Paper mache, paint. I made this, I would say, about maybe a 35, 40 centimetre long Trojan horse. Cut a little bit in the side, put some toy soldiers in the middle, you know, give it the full Trojan horse feel, closed it back up again, had a little plinth for it, took me, painted it beautifully, and then gave it him. I took it into school with him because I thought, I'm not having him
drop
it.
Yeah, you're having the credit.
So I took it. Yeah, because you do that as well when you do your kids' homework. About a few days later, you're like, what did we get for that essay? We did, by the way. A B? You're joking. And as I was walking into the school with him, I looked around and I saw all these other kids. I thought, where's all the Trojan horses? I mean, there should be a wealth of them now coming in the morning. As I looked, the rest of his classmates had drawings of Trojan horses. I said, Niall, why have those kids got pictures of Trojan horses and not a model? He went, oh, yeah, no, we had an option. We could draw it or make it. Can you believe that?
I like that boy a lot.
3:30 a.m. brown paint,
just
toy soldiers.
Covered in glue and paper. And
nightmare.
Little toy soldiers stuck to your cheek. Hey, you laying in bed.
Got an A star, though.
Got an A star.
Nailed it.
Of course it did.
Part of his coursework.
The only 3D Trojan horse.
Yes. So if his head teacher, Mr. Chicken, is listening, that's his name, I know. It's brilliant, isn't it?
You know what? I bet I know what his wife is saying right now.
And?
I feel like chicken tonight.
Jason Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's Jason Manford on Absolute Radio, joined by Steve Edge.
Hello.
Our co-host, our studio audience. Johnny Awesome.
Hello.
And special guest, Adam Hill.
Hey. Hello, everyone.
We've even got a jingle for you, Adam.
Really?
Yes, okay. That's how excited we are.
This is for you, Adam. And this. He's going to Rio for the Paralympics. The water's bad, he better take some pills. Australian and West Ham fan. He's forever blowing bubbles. It's Adam Hill.
Oh, that's amazing. That is... You know, the processes, my mental processes there were, can I have that before every show?
I was thinking I could just walk around with you. When you come out the lift, I'll do that. Downstairs. Downstairs when you come out.
Do you know what? I genuinely thought I want to be introduced by that every time and then realised, actually, it's not going to make any sense, the Rio thing, for the rest of my life.
I could change the words, Adam.
Oh, could you?
Yeah. He's like that.
Oh, my
I could change
goodness.
The words. Yeah.
That, he only come up with about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You could even say he's been to Rio and then
he went out last night and had a big night. He shouldn't really do it, but he took some pills, you know, that kind of thing. whatever you want me to sing.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, we're
this
off.
Is,
what, we're
what
off.
A way
what else did he
out.
Do?
Yeah, I'm interested.
I think we will stop there.
Yeah, we did, you know, I'm going to bring you along when I've had a big night and can't remember quite what I did.
It's a refresher. Yeah, that's great.
Well, to the audience, by the way, I'm really sorry. I got a bit freaked out. I kind of walked into a radio interview. There was an audience, and then I put my head down and just walked to you and didn't say hello to anyone.
Well, there we are. We're saying hello now. I know we thought we'd do it different this week. We thought we'd have a bit of a party.
Is this the first time you've had an audience?
This is the first time we've had an audience, yeah.
Wow.
This is our first one.
I should have known that because it's incredibly well catered.
Yes. Basically, the catering, you can't say it obviously because it's on the radio, but the catering looks like, I don't know if you've seen Obese, A Year to Save My Life. You know when they get the table out and they go, this is what you eat in a fortnight. Yeah. That's what we've got, but just this morning.
But you only ever do that for the first time. You only cater well for the first time. Because
yeah, the bananas aren't coming again, are they? Look,
no one's even touched the bananas.
Yeah, and you've really over catered now that I look at that. That's remarkable. Well, I remember one of the first gigs I ever did over here was I'm going to say who it was, a whole bunch of comedians, and it was in Colchester.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it was the first time this venue had ever done a gig, and we walked backstage and it was
twice as much as what you've got, but with alcohol. Wow. So there were four of every beer, but there were five different types of beers.
Wow.
And there were bananas, and there was bottles of wine. And one of the comedians happened to be going to a party straight after the gig and basically filled his bag up with everything.
Amazing.
Took it to a party.
Go on, tell us who it was.
It was Ross Noble, actually, of all people. Of all people, the one who doesn't
even drink.
I'm off to a party. I'm just going to take everything. And apparently they never catered for that show ever again.
Yes, they spoiled it for the rest of us. This is Jason Manford. This is Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. Good morning, it's Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Adam Hills. I've not seen Adam since we played football together at the Kilkenny Comedy Fest.
Indeed.
We played there.
The Comedians Football Match.
The Comedians Football Match. Steve Edge... We've never played football together, have we?
No, we haven't.
We're not footballers. We're not footballers, really.
It's quite a big... For those who don't know, the Kilkenny Comedy Festival, it started out as a kick-around in the park.
Yeah.
And it's now the rest of the world versus Ireland comedians.
Yes.
There's about maybe 500 to 1,000 people turn up to watch it.
It's crazy.
They had to employ comedians as commentators over the loudspeakers because it was getting too serious. And it's the kind of thing where... So I was in Montreal last week.
Just before you say that, there's nothing like being ribbed by those Irish... comics, though, is there? I mean, those Irish comics doing the commentary. I mean, at one point, Carl Spain, who I remember this clearly, almost like I remember the moments at school when I got bullied.
Yeah.
There was it's logged in that same category.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a moment where I was up front, in inverted commas, I was just stood there and waiting for the ball, and Carl Spain said, what a huge honour it is to have internationally successful comedian Jason Manford here in Kilkenny. They've even erected a statue in his honour. Oh no, it is Jason Manford. I remember it clearly.
And there's such a weird bond. So I was in Montreal last week for the festival, and someone introduced me to Louis C.K.
Oh wow.
And said, Louis, do you know Adam Hills? And he turned around.
I'm going to see him on Friday.
Are you going to see him on Friday? Yeah. He turned around and looked at me and went, oh my God, Adam, we played football together in Kilkenny on your one leg. Man, the Irish hated losing that day, didn't they? It's this really amazing bond of anyone that's been there and gone through.
So funny. My favourite game of celeb football that I've ever been involved in was at Old Trafford maybe about 6 years ago, and it was for Comic Relief. Mm. And it was Manchester United versus the rest of the world. And it was United ex-players and fans versus the rest of the world, ex-players and fans. And there's a weird thing when you play with ex-pros because you just get so involved really quickly. Like in the first minute you're like, all right, Mr. Rush, like when you meet Ian Rush, and then 5 minutes in you're like, Rushy! Rushy! I was free then! I get really into it, you know. And there was an amazing moment where Jaap Stam, do you remember Jaap Stam, the big Dutch player who played for Manchester United in the defence, he had the ball, and Lee Mack, right, who's one of my favourite human beings, right, Lee Mack slide tackled Jaap Stam. Right, and who's a huge mountain. He's just like a wall of muscle with two eyes, right? He's massive. And he missed the ball, and then petulantly, and who knows why Lee did this, just did a little kick, like kicked Jaap Stam in the leg.
Right.
And Jaap Stam looked down, like you would look down if like a fly hit your arm. Like, he just looked down at Lee Mack. And this is something you will never see in a professional game of football. As he looked down at Lee Mack, Lee was lying on the floor, and Lee went, I'm sorry. Like, you never get that in the Premier League, would you? Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. If you have a kid, it's safe to say your life will change, and there's lots of things that you will have to rearrange. But this one thing happens that I never knew. Your kids will embarrass you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I was in a restaurant a little while back, and early on, my daughter found this, like, it was like a hard, I don't know if you've seen them, like hard plastic balls, and they're like spiky a little bit, and they bounce and they light up.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so she just randomly, she's like seven, started randomly sort of rubbing it onto the back of my shoulders. It was like one of those massage things.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
rubbing it into the back of my shoulder. I was like, It's actually quite nice. Like,
lights going off.
So yeah, exactly. So she did it, and I was like, I said, that's actually pretty good, that. So she did it for about 2 or 3 minutes, you know, when kids find something new to do. And then off she went, and we all sort of forgot about it. And later on, in the same restaurant, the waiter came over and she said, "Are you having a good time?" And my daughter went, "Yes, I gave Daddy a ball massage." We didn't stay for dessert. And, it was like one of them moments that you're like, oh, do I explain it? Or is that, does it just sound weird? It sounds weirder. Yep. So that's what I thought we'd talk about this morning. Inappropriate kids. The moment where they just say something so... I mean, balls is quite a good one because, you know, obviously that's one of their favourite toys, footballs and bits and bobs. So that plays a lot. Cheryl messaged me to say, Jason, that reminds me of my eldest several years back. This was on Facebook. She said, we had just moved into our new house and I was introducing myself to the neighbour when I heard a scream. My young son ran out of the door in floods of tears. I attempted to get the story out of him. In between great heavy sobs in front of the elderly neighbours, she said, "Daddy put my balls in his mouth." My husband flew out moments later to go, "Maltesers! I ate his Maltesers!" Best introduction ever. So, this is what we're chatting about this morning. Mm-hmm. Inappropriate children. Right. I mean, you've got kids, Adam.
I have, and I'm going to stick to the theme. So I've got a prosthetic foot.
Yeah.
So my right foot is shorter than my left, and it's got a little ankle joint on it. And so when you've got a small kid, when you've got like a 2 or 3 year old, and they look and go, "What's that?" It's really hard to explain. Well, you know, it's from birth and blah, blah, blah. So my daughter would look at it and kind of grab it, and I would make the ankle go back and forward and go, "Ee-oh, ee-oh, ee-oh, ee-oh," just yeah, so that she felt comfortable of with course, me yeah, having yeah, a weird little foot. And she started to call it Daddy's Eeyore.
Right.
Which is fine until friends' kids come round and you have a swim, and then the friends' parents come round to pick up their kids and say, "How was the swim?" And they go, "Amazing, we saw BB's Daddy's Eeyore."
Yes. Yes.
He even let us play with it. And then you kind of got to explain. So, I mean, it was my own fault, to be honest.
Yeah, no, but you can't foresee it, though. You can't foresee it. That's the mad thing about it. So yeah. 8-12-15 is the text if you've got anything like that. Or give us a call if it's better in person to tell me. 0330-123-1215. I mean, it might not just be a rude stuff. It might just be, like Kate messaged me. She said, when Disney brought out the film The Hunchback of Notre Dame, she said, my daughter was 4 or 5 and she loved it. She had the little figures and the books and the toys. We were in our local supermarket and my daughter had run in front to look at the toys in the next aisle. She, like she always does, suddenly she shouted at the top of her voice, "Mom, Quasimodo is round here." I said, "Hang on, I'm coming," wondering how much this toy was going to cost me. I walked to the next aisle and there was a lovely gentleman with a curved spine. OMG, I could not apologise enough, dragging my daughter out of the shop.
He wouldn't have heard though, because he's deaf because of the bell. So.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Good morning, it's Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Janice Connolly is with us. Sorry, that was a story that we can definitely not tell on the radio. I apologise about that. And I wanted to tell you about this, actually. So it was my kid's swimming lesson yesterday. They have a swimming lesson on a Saturday morning. The big four do. And it takes 2 hours to get through, because they're all in different stages of swimming. So 12 till half past, half 12 till 1, 1 till, like, it's a bit of a nightmare. And but we're in there, so we're in the pool for 2 hours. I mean, I'll tell you how long I'm in the pool for. When I get out, the finger recognition doesn't work on my phone because I'm so prune-like, right?
Right.
So yesterday what I did was I thought, I'll do a first bit in the pool and then I'm getting out and getting... And if I'm dry, then I'll be able to get them dry quicker and all that sort of stuff. So I did that. So I sat there at the side of the pool, managed to get... We finished the swimming lessons after we sat there for a bit, got in the car, went over to the supermarket. So all the way through reception, all the way to the car park, into the car, to the supermarket, all the way around the supermarket, back into the car, home, before I realised that those plastic blue things that protect the floor from your shoes were still on my trainers from the swimming baths about 2 hours earlier.
And nobody said anything.
Nobody said anything. People smiling at me. I just thought, oh, probably just seeing us on something. Like, I wasn't even... No, they were laughing at me, Janice.
They were laughing, but not helping. There's too much
exactly,
of that going on.
Exactly.
Don't laugh, help.
So this is the question I'm asking this morning. What is the furthest you've got with a fashion malfunction? Becky said, from home to Tesco's, full shop and home again before I realised I'd stuck a massive yellow fascinator in my hair whilst tidying up. There I was thinking how nice people were in this new town, just smiling at me. I love that.
Did it just fall on her head by mistake?
I think she must have put it up while she was cleaning and then obviously
That's right, just put it there.
Yeah, and then she's gone. Kaylee Hartigan says, while playing with my son and mucking about with face paints all morning after lunch, we had a call at the door from some local church group. It was only after, it was only until they left after an awkward 10 minutes at the door about saving my soul that I realised the red devil face was still painted on mine.
Aww.
Didn't help, but my boy was at the door also with a skull face and a pitchfork from Halloween in his hand. Safe to say we never saw them again.
I'm thinking about my mother now. She was she went round B&Q in Stockport and she said everybody was looking at me and I thought I must have looked $1 million, and she realised she'd edged tights and knickers from the night before to come out the bottom of her trousers and were
classic.
Trailing behind her, but she thought everybody's looking at her. She's thinking, well, you've got it today, Joyce.
I love that.
Where real music matters.
Kerry in Lee, who says, hiya, Janice.
Hiya.
She says, when pregnant, I did a full shop in Morrison's with my umbrella up. Nobody said a word. Just did it.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's crazy what you get up to. Angela said, I used to live right next to the station, so where I get the train to work. I once was in such a rush, I ran for a train, got on the train and realised I was still swishing mouthwash. She just put it in her mouth, rah, 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 and I'll call it. It's not quite a fashion thing, but that's crazy, isn't it?
It's very good swishing.
She had to swallow. Pete Nicholson said, bought a new pair of shoes for a job interview, wore trainers for the journey, put the shoes on outside the building to find out they were both left. Both left feet. Bit awkward. Imagine that in a job interview.
How did he get on? Did he get the job?
He doesn't say.
Right.
He doesn't say. Ian Britton says, I think this counts as a malfunction. Ate a Boost bar whilst driving. Bit of chocolate must have fallen between my legs and melted down the back of a pair of black trousers. Only saw it when I got home and looked like I had pooed all over the back of my pants. Wonder why I was getting all those looks when I was filling up with petrol. There's a lot out there.
There is a lot.
I'm glad
out
it's
there.
Not just me. I like this one from Denise. She actually has got two. She says, first one, walked half the length of Dover High Street, age 17, with the back of my skirt tucked into my drawers.
We've all done that.
I mean, that's
in
easy,
Dover.
That's easy done.
Yeah, easy done in Dover.
Easy done. The other one was this. I was a newly very slim 30-year-old, fending off the attentions of a flirty butcher. All ladies will know.
This is a good tale.
She says, all ladies will know how cheeky butchers
are. They
are
very cheeky,
are they?
Butcher.
I've never noticed.
Well, you're not a lady.
Well, I wouldn't know, I guess so. She said, I was wearing a button-back pencil skirt and matching blouse.
Very nice, very outfit. Nice. Forgotten felt, to butchers.
She said, I felt very swish until I walked away and felt a bit of a draft. My two-year-old had undone all but the top button of my skirt whilst I was distracted by my two pork chops.
Oh, very good.
Katie and Kendall, I've done this. I walked my boys to school after getting ready in a hurry and then went to do some shopping in town when I felt a lump near the bottom of my jeans. Shook my leg, and a pair of knickers fell out from the day before.
That's
I just
right.
carried on walking, shame-faced, pretending not to notice.
That's right, just shook them off.
Isn't it funny when there's always like a sock or a yesterday's pants or something
that's
just
right.
in your trousers. You've just put them on too quick every
that's
morning.
That's it, and you think, what's that lump?
I did it at an interview, a job interview once, and I was in this interview and I had these trousers on that I'd obviously wore the day before, and halfway through the interview I could feel them, they'd obviously dislodged and they'd sort of started to make their way down a little bit, and I knew as soon as I stood up that they were coming out the bottom of the trousers. So I stood up and I shook the guy's hand, and I think even the shake of his hand sort of just loosened it a bit, and I could see the bottom of these, like they were like orange underpants, like just out the bottom. And I was only 17, like 16, 17, aww. Like my first job interviews. Yeah, I think I was 16, and I shook his hand and he said, oh, we'll be in touch. And then I could see them at the bottom and I thought, what can I can't walk away. So I just kept going. He went, you all right? And I went, yeah, I just got a couple more questions about the job. Like, I didn't. And I said, I asked him something and I went, oh, and then I spotted a jug of water on the back shelf. I said, you couldn't get us a glass of water, could you? And I could have some water, please. And he went, yeah, sure. And he when he turned, I managed to free them and I just kicked them under his desk.
Quick thing. He just left them under his desk.
And I left them under his desk. It was the only thing I could do. So I just kicked them under his desk, had the water and then left. And I was on the bus home and I thought, I've got away with that. Totally got away with that. And then it was only then I realised, actually, my name was probably sewn in the back of them. Like, my mum still did. My mum still did that. Was only, so I never got a phone call for that job.
Quick thinking though, with the water.
It was. I was quite pleased with myself. If only I could have shown him how quick I was at thinking in difficult situations, I'd have probably got the job.
Music matters.
So I had this phone call from Bruce Forsyth once, already told me off. Yeah. I don't want to start on a row.
Yeah.
And then Phil very kindly mentioned one of my many other celebrity faux pas, because I'm not good around them. I'm not good around a celeb. Yeah. When I meet them, I still feel like not worthy. I feel a bit like I shouldn't be here, you know. So I get a bit nervous, and I often find myself in situations that, you know, that I shouldn't. And what happened was, I was doing Raw Variety and a few years back, and I was on with, I think Peter Kay was host, and there's quite a lot of big stars on the Raw Variety, as you remember, every Christmas. And Paddy McGuinness, not that he's one of the big stars, but Paddy McGuinness was also on the bill, and we sort of had like a friendly rivalry all day where we were getting photos of celebrities. So like Michael Bublé, Miley Cyrus was on, you know, all these different people were on. So we were getting all these photos. And then just before we did a rehearsal, I came in and I saw the comics, Penn and Teller. We shared a dressing room with Penn and Teller. I saw them, a couple of the, Hal Cruttendon, I think, and Paddy McGuinness, and a couple, Omid Jalili, I think, all these different comics are there. And as I walked over, I saw Paddy, and he said, "Hey, look who's over there." And I had a little look. And he said, "It's Bette Midler." And I said, "Oh, yeah." And he says, "Why don't you go and get a photo with her?" And I said, "Oh, do you know what I might do?" He says, "I've already got one." I said, "Well, I'm gonna go and get one as well then, Paddy." He said, "Go on, take your camera. No light, he said. And I went over and I said, "Excuse me, Miss Midler," because I'm nice like that, because I'm a respectful boy. I said, my parents are a huge fan. My mum's a massive fan. Seen, you know, Beaches, First Wives Club, got your albums. You know, just love you to bits. I wondered if I could have a photo." She went bonkers. Like, I'm talking, she's about 5'2", right? So I'm 6'. She's 5'2". She can't even, her finger's pointing right into my face.
It's like she's angry at a plane.
Yes, exactly. She's just pointing upwards.
Yeah.
And she's effing and jeffing. She is. And she's really angry. She's like, "How dare you..." I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I'm taking all the swearing out. She says, "How dare you come over and do this? How dare you say this to me when we're here at the, you know, we're about to go on stage?" And I mean, it was a rehearsal, it wasn't the show. Who the hell do you think you are? Like, she's really angry. And I'm going to be honest here, right? I did actually get tears in my eyes because I was so embarrassed. I was like, "Oh my God," like, I was mortified. But also at the same time, because of, she, you know, she used to be a comic, and I just started laughing, you know, really nervously. I was like, "Ha, ha, ha, this must be some sort of joke." But no, she carried on, and she carried on. In the end, security came over, like, got and took me out, and I had to get my pass out. I was like, "I'm supposed to be here. Like, I'm on the bill." And took me away from Miss Midler. I went back to the comics, who had all witnessed this, and were all doing that thing where they were dying to laugh, but it was awful. And I said, I looked at Paddy, I was like, "How did you get a photo?" He went, "He says, I never did." He said, "But I just saw somebody else ask for one and get a rollicking as well." Set me right up.
Are you going to get him back one day for that?
I will try. I will attempt to get him back one day. But she, I mean, the thing is, everything I've seen about Bette Midler is she's lovely and adorable. I've never heard a bad story about her, which makes me feel, I think, maybe I just caught her at a wrong moment.
Jason Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
So, last weekend, I'm going to flag it up now. This is the first time I've used a certain phrase that a lot of celebrities are known for.
Okay.
I actually used the phrase, "Do you know who I am?" Now, I'm going to back it up before you turn off, before you start slagging me off on Twitter. Yeah, I've never used the phrase before because it always struck me as a phrase of, well, if they don't know who you are, they don't...
how would they know who you are? If they know who you are, it doesn't make sense. There's a question.
Yeah.
Why would you risk it? The risk is too great. As you know, today is my brother's wedding. So last week I took my daughters to Debenhams. Went to Debenhams to get dresses for the wedding. Matching dresses, which they never do. I forced them into any clothes that match. So we spent all day doing it. I was knackered. Anyway, I found the dresses. Found the dresses, got the three. Also got a little one for the baby as well. Ooh. Happy days. On Friday afternoon, I was going to sort of iron them and stuff and get them ready for the weekend. And halfway through the second dress, a security tag on the dress. Ooh. Security tag on the dress. And I thought, I don't know what to do with this. I asked the internet and they were like, oh, just get a magnet. And I was going, what?
Nope. No.
Who's got magnets other than the fridge magnets that barely even stick to the fridge?
Yeah.
What use are they going to be? So yesterday, I went back to Debenhams after the internet told me just go back to the shop. So I drove back to the Trafford Centre on a Saturday afternoon, Alison.
Uh-huh.
I went into the shop. I queued up. It was a massive queue. And I thought, I'm not even buying anything. I'm just after this thing. So I get to the front of the queue and I said to the young girl there, hi. You know, you start trying to do your happy face, even though you're like livid. I was like, hi, this happened the other day and the security tag got left on. The problem is I've not got the receipt. I didn't keep the receipt because I didn't think I'd be bringing these dresses back. I just lost it.
Oh no.
I found every receipt I used that day except the one I needed. She was like, yeah, without the receipt, it's hard to do. I was like, right, can make this decision here, because I've just driven in and it was your fault. She said, I'll have to get security. Anyway, security came and I could sort of tell there was a moment where he recognised my face for a second. And I went, hiya, mate. I was like trying to play this laddie, like, all right, mate.
Yeah.
And what a nightmare. You
hiya,
know.
Pal.
Yeah. And he was like, sorry, it's just that, you know, that's company policy. And I said, look, you know who I am. I don't feel good about it, Alison. I don't feel good about it.
I know, but I understand.
But I had to just go, look, I get it. And I don't know what thieves look like. You know, there's a stereotype, I'm sure, but I don't know what they look like. If you work in the security industry, I'm sure you know what they look like. They do not look like me. They do not look like a tired dad with a dress. With a dress. Anyway, it worked.
They took it off?
They took it off. And the irony is, I had actually stolen it. That's what that I know.
This is
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
So, we've been talking about kids stealing things. Not just kids, though, Alison.
Yeah, adults are...
Adults are... Not even just humans. Listen to this. When we were in a pet shop, my guide dog picked up a pig's ear from the shelf and ate it without me knowing. The shop owner was very understanding and found it quite funny. But that is £60,000 worth of training in the bin. That's an expensive guide dog.
I was going to say £60,000.
I guess that's... about it. How many hours you got to put in. Crikey. Even guide dogs at it. I love that. You've got a bit of a rogue guide dog.
I just need a pig's ear.
Hey, man, look. I'll do my job. I'll keep you safe. But occasionally I will be eating a pig's ear. So that's
I am just a dog.
You know, I'm a good guy. Okay? Yeah. I walk blind people around. I make sure they don't get killed. On the flip side, I've got a dark side.
Pig's ear addiction.
You know, exactly. There's nothing I can do about it, okay? But I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. When I was a kid, I remember we went on holiday to Butlins. This is me. I sort of started talking like I was reading a text then. But when I was a kid, we went to Butlins on holiday. And me and my brothers were so excited to be there. And it was one of these places where once you're in, the fare and the swimming and everything's just included in the price. And we'd never... It was actually our only holiday as a kid. So we never had holidays. And I was about 8 or 9. And my brother was 7. And my other brother was 5. And that was the only holiday I had until I was about 22 when I could afford to go on holiday myself as a grown-up. So we've gone to the... They were there. And we were like, oh, Mum, can I have some money for the fairground? And Mum was like, guys... It's all included.
in the price. Food's included, the rides are included, like everything's included. We're at Butlin's Profeli in Wales, and this is it. And we were like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And we went out and we were gone for the whole day. It was amazing. The next morning, we got up early and we went. There was like a little shop and it had pick and mix and sweets and chocolate and all that. And we filled our pockets and we just took everything, absolutely everything from this shop. Like, we just filled loads of stuff and then left. But of course, the shop
is not
included in the all-inclusive.
Oh.
We got home to our little chalet thing, and a few hours later, little knock at the door.
Oh.
Dad answered. Yeah, security. It's three lads here. Three lads living here. We've had a lot of stuff stolen from the shop. A lot of sweets and toys. A football has been stolen from the shop. And my dad, it was a Power Rangers football. I remember it clearly.
Oh, yeah, clear Power as day. Rangers.
And my dad, in the face of essentially possibly being thrown out of our only holiday, went, no, I'm here by myself. Totally lied. As the football just rolled right up to his foot. Security guard went, All right, mate. Enjoy your holiday. Jason
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
So I had an odd experience this week, John Bishop, where I was on holiday and we were at a little cafe and we were looking at the menu and it had the usual things on the kids' menu, you know, when you go to Portugal and Spain, you know, chicken nuggets, fish fingers, a burger, that sort of thing. And I said to my daughter, who's just turned 7, I said, have you had a look through the menu, sweetheart? Is there anything that you want for dinner? And she had a look through the proper menu and she said, do you know what, Dad? I think I'd like to try the octopus. So I got her the octopus and she liked it. Now, I didn't know you could eat octopus till I was about 22. I didn't even know what hummus was till I was about 25.
Yeah, they hadn't invented it before you were 25.
No,
it's
agree.
Stuff like couscous. Where did that come from? Well, quinoa. There's food
agreed.
Now
yeah.
that never existed.
Kale. Where did kale? Kale's only 2 years old.
I know.
Where did kale come from?
Kale, like, I'm vegetarian, yeah. I'm all of this stuff's presented to me. Kale, I've got to be honest with you.
It
makes you want to eat a sausage.
It's like a farmer went to his land and went, how am I going to get rid of all this weed? I'll say it's a superfood.
Superfood, yeah. Here's some food, what's it? Oh, it's super. You'll have that.
Yeah. Octopus. And it was that moment that I thought, my kids are better than me. But better's the wrong word, but definitely posher. They are having a posher upbringing than I am, naturally.
Yeah,
obviously.
Like I've said it in the past in stand-up that my kids are the kids I used to throw stones at. And there has been times where they're going off to school when they were little, the posh uniforms, and I'm picking up stones going, get out of here. Sorry, son. Sorry. I couldn't help it. It was an instinct. Your couscous has fell out your lunchbox. And there is that bit where you regard yourself as working class. You've grown up on a council estate, you go, that's it, but you don't live there anymore. You live more of your life somewhere else. But
I think
that grounding never goes.
It stays
and
with
you,
absolutely.
And I don't think class changes necessarily because of your circumstances. It's an instinct inside you. But what it means is if you move on, for what I want of a better phrase, and you live a posh life, you do have posh kids.
Yeah, I know.
And it is that moment where you do look at them and go, whoa.
I know. My daughter, I said to my daughter the other day, I said, right, I'm just going to, we're on all this, I said, right, I'm going to put that thing up in the garage. And she went, you mean the garage? The garage! She actually corrected my English. Garage! Yeah. I'm not having it. The moment you realise your kid was better than you. Okay, that's what we're after this morning. Steph Griffiths messaged me. She said, went to a restaurant with my daughter. She was about 4 years old. Waitress came over to see if the food was okay, and my lovely 4-year-old announced to everybody, it's super, would you thank the cook for me?
That's
amazing.
That's good.
That's amazing.
When your kids are aware of staff.
Yes. Well, there's another great one, actually, which was Nicola Perry, who said, we were having an early pub tea one evening. We ended up being the only ones left in the pub. Her 5-year-old said, oh, look, Mummy, it's just us and the servants.
No. Jason.
Manford.
Absolute Radio. Where real
music matters. Lucy's on the line. Good morning, Lucy.
Hiya, good morning. How are you?
I'm really well, thanks for asking. Where are you calling from, Luce?
I'm from Hampshire.
Hampshire, lovely. OK, yeah. Tell us then, the moment you realise your kids are posher than
hang
you.
Hang on. Lucy's phoning from Hampshire. We've got a high bar to begin with.
No, hang on, right. I've just recently moved to Hampshire.
Don't sound like you've come from Hampshire.
No, in all due respect.
With all due respect, I said that bit. Go on then, what happened?
Okay, so myself, my husband, and my twin boys went round to my friend's house for dinner, and they're only 4 years old. And when we got there,
friends,
at my friend's house, and when we got there, she asked, would the boys like a drink? And the boys were like, yes, please, can I have a water? Which is fine, they're not a big fan of the juice. So she started running the cold tap, and as she was running the cold tap, my youngest twin turned around, oh no, not from the tap. It has to be bottled, and it has to be cold from the fridge.
I think that's fair enough because I'm a bit of a water snob myself.
There's four. Like Lucy said, the four. I'll be honest with you. This is a true story. This. I used to have another life, Lucy. So I was working. I was working for a pharmaceutical company, and I was actually studying. This is true. I was studying to do a master's degree in business whilst I was working, and I had to go to a seminar weekend in Manchester. It was at Manchester University. Got all these people studying masters, all these people involved in business, and there was a lad there, and he lived up in the lakes, and everyone had to put forward what environment they were in and what they wanted to do, and I said I work for a big pharmaceutical company, and they came to this lad. This is honestly about 15 years ago. Yeah, I said, so, he said, so what are you doing? He said, I'm thinking, have you seen in France you get water in a bottle? He said, I'm thinking you can do that in England. And we all went, don't be daft. Who's going to buy water in a bottle? He's loaded now, and I'm here with you.
Exactly, yeah. John Buxton. Lovely. Thanks, Lucy.
That's fine. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too, sweetheart. Bye-bye. It's the moment you realise your kids were posher than you. This one from Alison. I love this one. I grew up in Slough, but grew up and moved away. I first knew my five-year-old son was posher than me when he applauded someone and said, bravo. 5 years old. Liam in Glasgow says, we didn't have a family car growing up. Listen, my kids do this. We didn't have a family car growing up. Now, my kids see getting the bus anywhere as a novelty. Yeah. And beg me to leave the car at home.
Yeah.
My kids are like, can we get the bus?
Yeah.
They always do that. So the moment you realise your kids are pushing you, I love that. Geraldine in West Midlands was on holiday with our cousins having a pub tea. All the kids were ordering, six of them, all said pizza and chips or chicken nuggets. Came to my eldest lad, who was seven. He said, steak, medium.
Yeah, medium.
Stephanie said, when my daughter was three or four, she said, I was showing her how you could fold up a car window shade and it would ping when you let go of it. I said to her, look, it's magic. She replied, it's not magic, Mummy, it's physics.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Matters. Good morning, Jason Manford, joined this morning by Jeff Norcott.
Hello.
Who's with us. We're talking the moment you realised you ain't got it. You ain't got it, you never had it, you don't even know what it is. You're so far from it, you can't even see it. Caroline messaged me, she said, I had it once when I was done up. I was going out on a rare night out in town. I was waiting for my friends, a group of young men came up to see me. I thought, similar to you, Jason, thought, I've got it here. Until they asked me where the nearest Tesco was. That can happen. That's not nice, is it?
And not even like one of those supermarkets where you go, oh, Waitrose, like, I knew.
She'll know. Yeah. She looks like she's just come
from there.
She
likes a bargain.
Yeah. Anastasia says, Anastasia Garton, that's a good name, isn't it? Yeah. She says, I saw this guy in the bus eyeing up my bum. After I was taking my son to playgroup, I was thinking, still got it. Imagine my dismay when I got home and found a squash cupcake plastered to my jeans. Just heartbreaking.
Also, that you didn't have a cupcake as well. Double grief.
Yes, exactly, But then again, as a parent, I would still probably eat that.
I'm still eating bits. Just bit by bit, just get the finger in there. I mean, that would look bad.
Yeah, that would be weird. I ate a Wotsit the other day that was just in the car. No, it's not right, is it? Yeah. It was just like, I thought, oh, I'll have that. I ate it. It was like, because they're supposed to crunch, aren't they? It was like chewy, and I was like, oh. And then I thought to myself, I can't even remember the last time I bought a packet of Wotsits for the kids. Like, I think it might have been older than my youngest child.
It's some limited edition flavour from the early 90s.
Gaz Pearson, I had a college girl smile at me before, so I smiled back. She was very attractive, so I felt quite good about myself until her mate asked her why she always goes for old men. I'm 30 next week. Heartbreaking. Martin in Muswell Hill, he says, I used to wait on tables in a cafe. I once rushed to clear a table these four gorgeous girls had just sat down at. I was thinking, I'm going to have a little flirt. As I rested the tray and bent slightly to clear up with big smiles, I just let a little trump go.
Oh, nice.
Just a little one creeped out. So I had to clear the table with us all in complete silence. Stacking the plates, cups, picking up placemats, wiping it all down. The silence was only broken with screeching laughter when I left.
That is a terrible thing that blokes have to enjoy. When you embarrass a group of girls, they will not hold back in screech of laughter together. I don't think it necessarily works the other way. If a girl says something a bit off.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it definitely doesn't work
the other way. If you're any sort of gentleman, you'll just make out like it wasn't embarrassing.
Yeah. Although I had a weird thing last night after I finished Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I was coming through the theatre to the little pub at the front to see some of the other cast. And I'd sort of done stage door. I'd done a few people who wanted, you know, photos or whatever. So I was thinking I was just by myself. And anyway, early on in the day, Phil Jupitus had made dinner. Mm. And in teriyaki sprouts he'd made, right? And I'm not a massive fan of sprouts, but I thought I'll eat them because he's cooked them. They were actually very, very nice. But, you know, they do give you a bit of, you know what I'm saying? So I did that thing where you're in a busy place and you are looking for somewhere just to be alone, just for a second, you know, just to sort of just relieve yourself a little bit, just have a little moment of, okay, I'm fine by myself. And I couldn't find anywhere. Everywhere I went, it was like a sitcom. Everywhere I went, it was like The Truman Show, but for farts. Right? and I couldn't find anywhere. And then I found this little place. I thought, right, I'm going to just going to go for it here, and then I'm going to walk away from it. And give me far too much information. And then this woman come running over, so I had to quickly like hold it back in. She went, can I get a photo? And I was like, yeah, sure. I don't know what the photo looks like. My face trying to hold it.
She doesn't understand your angle. Just hurry up, Derek.
Yeah,
just give it here.
Then she put her arm round me and squeezed me, and it squeezed out.
Oh.
She actually squeezed it out. The poor woman. Awful. Where real music matters. So anyone just joining us, I'm joined by Jeff Norcott this morning, and we are talking about the moment that you thought you had it, and you most definitely have not got it, or you're nowhere near it. Nowhere near it. This is from Anonymous. It says, after being dared to do it by friends, I strolled over to the bar and casually leaned over to chat to a group of three very attractive girls. After introducing myself, one of them says, you're on fire. I took this as a compliment, but she was actually informing me that my shirt sleeve was a light for the candle on the bar. I love that. And this one is one of my favourite texts we've ever had. Donna came out of the house one day and a gardener was mowing the grass opposite. He was wearing jeans and a high-vis vest top. Great tan body, a lot younger than me. We clocked eyes, smiled, and I giggled and got into my car feeling fabulous until I realised I'd got into the passenger side.
Yeah. The thing about that is, how long is the pause
before you stay in that car?
Just have to try. How can you style that out? You know, when you're looking around, oh, he's not here, I guess I'll have to drive.
I think what I'd probably do is just climb over the middle bit and get into the driving seat. I would definitely not get back out of the car.
Or just see if you've got any European number plates knocking around. Just I thought it was the French car.
It's just foreign car. All the time.
Yeah, I work a lot on the continent.
There
is
nothing worse than that. I've done that in, you know, when you go abroad and you just can't get it out of your head and you just get into the passenger side. nothing worse, but not
as long as you don't do it on the motorway and then go, you know.
Well, there is that. Yeah. Not, and certainly not in front of a sexy gardener. Chris, I was dancing with this rather attractive lady in a club. I slipped on a spilt drink, ended up doing the splits, but tried to style it out. Attempted some impromptu breakdancing quite badly.
I love just styling it out as a phrase, just a simple idea of what people have to do when they look like an idiot in public. And you know, when you go out jogging and you realise you don't know the route anymore, so you literally have to just turn around and jog the other way. There's something really embarrassing about
that. I'll be honest with you, Jeff. That's never happened to me. What annoys me about joggers, I mentioned it on the show before, it's when they at a traffic crossing and they jog on the spot.
Yeah, that like, is out of
it. Well, winds me up. Yeah. Like, just stop it for a minute.
Yeah.
Just pack it in. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's professional level stuff where you need to keep your body warm.
You're basically doing a fast walk.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even proper jogging.
Even dogs sit at like traffic lights, you know what I mean?
Just take a moment and just have a think about your life. Kelly Ferranti. It's a good name, isn't it? She said, I had a cold call salesman knock at the door one day many years ago. And as he was about 25, I was 23 at the time, 6 foot tall and a perfect mix of the Heath Ledger and a young Sean Connery, I allowed him in to sell my wares. Some phone line or something like that. My son was about 3 at the time, and as this Adonis parked himself on my Bright House sofa to talk me through the phone line, I had no intention of buying. He landed his peach on a squeaky toy train that sounded a bit like a Trump. I was that mortified, I thought I'd ease the awkward situation by saying, don't worry, you can't come in this house without getting something stuck up your bottom. 13 years on, I still have absolutely no idea why I said those words, but it still haunts me on sleepless nights. I love that. Sunday mornings, 8 till 11.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while. Call